That great quote I told you about before, Gandhi, as he approached the end of his life, Mahatma Gandhi said, "So I would have become a Christian had I not known so many Christians." And then, instead of all the hope that he should have had from his religion, things got darker and darker and darker for him as death approached. But you know what? I've watched a lot of saints, people who belong to Jesus. Everyone that belongs to Jesus is a saint. I've watched a lot of them die. And that has not been the case with them. It got brighter and brighter and brighter as they got closer. Closer. And at times it seemed like they almost just had one foot here and one foot in heaven. And to know that we have that hope that they're sure forever and ever. What a blessing. Glad you're here today. Go ahead and shoot it up there, John. The background, not the other one. We've been in a series of messages for several weeks entitled... Are you tired of spinning your wheels? We've been looking at some key truths from the Scripture that will expose and explode lies that we bought into that we just believe. They've become part and parcel of who we are. But you know, just because it's been in your family a long time, it can still be a lie, can it? Anybody got that in your family? A lie perpetuated through generations? Still a lie. Well, today, the title of today's message is Connection is Not Optional. We're going to talk about community. I'm reading from New Living Translation. I probably got a dozen or so of these. If you don't have a Bible, you'd like to have one, you can have this one, and I've got about a dozen more back there. But I'm reading from this translation today, which is my favorite modern translation. My favorite translation is New American Standard. But this is my favorite folksy one from James chapter 4. If you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. I encourage you to start bringing your Bibles. I told you for the next several weeks, I wasn't going to put any scriptures up here. Because I want you to bring your Bible. And... So you can mark it and see it on the page. Because what I remember when I read is where it is on the page when I go back to it. And it has familiarity for me. Now, you're probably going to think this is an odd passage to be reading. But hang in here with me. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says there, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you?" Did you experience any quarreling this week? Oh, everything was hunky-dory where you worked, right? It was peace and calm. And you never had an ill word in your home, right? It was all tranquility. Well, somebody was dead. "What's causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Isn't it the whole army of evil desires that's at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it." Now, I know some of you just checked out when I said kill. You said, "I haven't killed anybody this week." You thought about it. Now you can ask Miss Audrey. She'll tell you. She doesn't believe in divorce, but she's not so sure about murder. She's not here today. She's out of town, and I've got freedom. Preach it, brother. Hey, I know when I do that, every female in here, I can't wait to tell her. Okay. Now, when I say murder, you know, you can assassinate somebody's character, can't you? You've murdered them. So, let's not get all high and mighty here. This is for us. You're jealous for what others have, and you can't possess it. So you fight and quarrel to take it away from them. And yet, the reason you don't have... How about this? He's going to give us the reason. The reason you don't have... Lost my place there. And yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your whole motive is wrong. Is this preaching to anybody yet? You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers. Now again, well, I hadn't fooled around on my wife this week. But have you fooled around on Jesus? Don't you realize that friendship with this world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. That if your aim is to enjoy this world, you can't be a friend of God. What do you think the Scriptures mean when they say that the Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, jealously longs for us to be faithful? The Spirit of God moving you? He gives us more and more strength to stand against such evil desires. As the Scriptures say, God sets Himself against the proud, but He shows favor to the humble. So every time we stand up in pride, who's there to oppose us? Jesus Himself. So humble yourselves before God. This is great. Humble yourselves, therefore, before God. Resist the devil, and then what? He'll flee. He will flee from you. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites. Did that passage speak to you? As I read that, here are some things that jump out of that passage for me that I think are great applications for us. What is the problem with our lives? He said it over and over again. We think that we're self-sufficient. Every time we choose something other than God, we're saying, that's okay, God, I've got it. Self-sufficiency. Is there such thing? Could you do without the people in your life? Oh, a lot of people here recently thought they had enough money in the bank. Wrong. Or, hey, my health is great today. What happens tomorrow? Do you see? We come into this belief, and it's a false belief that we can be self-sufficient. We tend to operate by our agenda of our own self-centeredness that drives us. I've told several of you the story in the past. You may remember this. It's about 20 years ago. Late one night, in an apartment building. New York City. Young mother was coming home late. She got inside the first door you unlock to get into the little open area there where she'd go up the stairs to her apartment. Many other apartments that surrounded this. It was late night. Well, several guys followed her in there. And for the next 15 minutes, assaulted her and beat her unmercifully. She died. When the police came to investigate, what they found as they went to around the apartments, all the people were home. 33 people, count them, heard or saw what was happening. Not one person went to help her. Not one. When they asked, why didn't you go to her aid? Each one said, I didn't want to get... Brothers and sisters, I want you to know today, you've got to be involved because people are dying. And you're going to die without involvement, won't you? Each one of those people interviewed had a greater value for his own self-centeredness than for the life of that woman. And here's the crying shame. Not only do we have a culture of self-sufficiency and self-centeredness, but then we trust others who purport the same values. We push people up into places of authority that have the same value of self-centeredness and self-sufficiency. And do you see what it creates? The culture that it creates. It's a culture of death. And oftentimes, we're unaware of who our true enemies are, because what James described to you in those few verses that I read to you was a struggle that we've seen from the beginning with the world, the flesh, and the devil. A throwdown battle. Well, let's look at the truth about our situation. We battle daily with an unholy alliance of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We battle with this idea and have often believed that a man or a woman can be an island unto themselves. And that's not possible. God has called us otherwise. Most people in our society, at least up until recently, are living under the illusion that they can live life without cover, without accountability in their lives. And when I said the word accountability, I realized for some of you, whoop, flags went up. Because we only know accountability from the negative part of it. I want to preach to you today the positive part of accountability. Our little children need accountability, don't they? Don't you call that love when you stop them from going out into traffic? When you take care of them on a daily basis? Isn't that loving accountability? Well, that's what God calls us to. The nature of life today and the struggles in which we're living through right now. Life is a battle right now. It's a battle in the world, isn't it? Would you be in agreement there today? Are there people in the world who want you dead? Are there? You better believe it. And if you're living in some cloud somewhere and you're thinking, well, you know, if we'll just be nice and just turn over, you know, these people will just go away. No! It's a real battle in the world today. It's a battle in our society. It's a battle for our children. It's a battle every day for what is right. It's a battle over the airwaves, isn't it? What's going out today? Miss Audrey's gone, and I was watching something on TV, and I went to sleep, because what TV is for me is, it's about 2 minutes of TV, and then I go to sleep. As soon as, you know, there's a switch there that just... And I woke up. And I woke up to vile words that I was hearing on what was supposed to be an okay channel. And I'm thinking, how did that get through? Do you see the battle? It's an onslaught every day, chiseling the world, the flesh, the devil against us. And in most cases, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, what the world says, if it feels good, do it. What's that done for us? How's that helped our society? It's leading to our destruction. And by the way, let's just be honest. If any of us in this room are under the illusion that the church is growing percentage-wise in the United States of America, you're wrong. The church is shrinking. Percentage-wise. It has less influence today than it did a year ago. But you know, when I look at that, I don't see a call to quit and say, okay, Jesus, come on and get me now. I see a battle that has been struck, that God is calling us onto the front lines for every person's soul and their lives. Thank God people were willing to fight for us. God has chosen us to live at this time in history. He put us here to live out the life of Christ. Now, when we talk about this idea of submitting to God, putting ourselves before Him and looking to Him, what does that look like? Let me read those verses again, last part of that passage. He gives us more and more strength to stand against such evil desires. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. What does that look like? Drawing close to God? Does it look like, well, it's just me and God? No. You're not some individual, independent contractor out here. Go back and read the letters in the New Testament. Read Galatians. Read Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Read Corinthians. Read all of it. Read the New Testament and see what God is saying. He is speaking to the body. He speaks to us as part of the body of Christ. We're one part of the body. He assumes that when He's speaking. Connection is not optional. So if we're going to draw near to Him, we're going to draw near with the body of Jesus. God has provided cover for all those who will submit to him. Protection. What happens when you're in a war? Does that mean you split everybody up and you make them easy targets for the enemy? Is that what you do? You gather together strategically, don't you? When a shepherd is watching over his sheep, what does he do? He keeps them together. What happens to a wolf that will come into a herd of sheep? He'll get trampled to death. But what happens if he catches a sheep off by itself? If the sheep don't trample him to death, he's there under the cover of that shepherd, and that shepherd's staff becomes what? A rod, a weapon, and he can beat his head in. Now I'm telling you, we've got forces against us and against our family. The world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm not out to take prisoners when they come against my family and those that belong to me. I want him away from my family. Not to ravage and devour my family. God has called us to more. Hit it, John.
God, I confess to you, my faith is small.
All of us are going to escape fire unscathed. Some will stumble, so that we will be refined and purified for his purpose.
When you plant melon seeds, you harvest melons. When you plant bean seeds, you get beans. When you plant seeds of faith, you find God.
I want to thank you for helping my babies and for helping me.
This is our sister of the firing squad. China has seen many things that some of us would call miracles since the revolution. He has given me a message for our sister. Our Lord has asked you to trust him for one day at a time. Days would become weeks, and weeks into months, and months would fall into years, one day at a time.
A clip from the movie China Cry, which is about life of Nora Lamb. Any of y'all familiar with her? They called her the woman, the sister of the firing squad. The reason why they called her that is because when they came, she's 23 years old, which she's born in 37, that would be 1960. They came for her and asked her to declare whether or not she was a Christian. And she said, I'm a follower of Jesus. They put her before a firing squad, and when the command came, suddenly this light came. As they fired their weapons, the the firing squad lifted their weapons up. She was saved miraculously. She eventually, she moved off of mainland China. She eventually came to the United States. Catherine Kuhlman brought her here years ago. She is now going to be with the Lord. But I want you to see the picture of where they were meeting as a body. Do you see that? In secrecy. The Chinese Communist government tried to squash out Christianity. They did that by oppression, by putting people to death, by taking over strategic pulpits where the only sermon that could be preached would be a sermon that was approved by the state, which was no gospel at all. But as they pushed the church in that way, the church went underground. And for these people, connection was not optional. As they came together as the body of Jesus, submitting to Him and coming against the wiles of the devil through the love of Christ. For us to flower as believers in Jesus, we must all submit ourselves under the Lordship of Christ. And that means to be in His body, connected. Hear me on this. The Bible knows nothing. Christian history knows nothing of a brand of Christianity that is out here by itself. It is always connected throughout history. Even in the times when it was oppressed. And right now, that very same thing is happening around the world. As I remind you, that there are people here in our country who would like to suppress our right to preach the gospel. We have the cover of a relationship, a personal relationship with Christ. We have the cover of our own personal family. We have the cover of being a part of His body in the expressions as we see in Acts 20:20. If you're going to have 20:20 vision, they met both publicly and from house to house. It was both and. They had public meetings and they had meetings in their homes. There are countries around the world right now where that is such a precious thing to be able to gather together. But I dare say in most of the places where the church is growing like wildfire, and I mean really growing, I don't mean just some people getting disgruntled with this church and going over to this church. That's an American garbage pile. I'm talking about where the real body of Christ, body life is taking place. In most of those places where the real body life takes place is in these small groups of people. Because see, they thrive in oppression. And we have the privilege in this country of relating to Christ however we choose. What a privilege. We need cover. We need the cover of our life group. We need the cover of our congregation. We need one another because connection is not optional equipment. So what's the solution? The solution, we must submit to God, to His plan. What's His plan for your life? He says, submit therefore unto God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Notice the order of that. You submit to God, then he gives you the power to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Would you like to kick him out of your life? Now, I can't guarantee he's not going to come back and try again, but you can escort him off the premises. You can get him out of the way. Say, go! Get away from me. But it starts with submission. Are we willing to submit ourselves to God? And part of that submission means that we submit ourselves in a local body. We submit ourselves to other people. Every time we come together and we share our stories, and publicly like this or in our homes, we come together in a group. Note in that group that showed you the clip, what were they doing? They were sharing testimony with one another of what God was doing. We need that. We need each other. Who's the hands and feet of Jesus? Us. That prayer, as we pray, as we put our hands on someone to pray for them, it's not like the hand of Jesus is upon them. The hand of Jesus is upon them because Jesus is present. He's present in His body. One of the biggest lies in America today in the church is that I can be an independent contractor for Jesus. And that's a lie hot from hell. It's a lie of the devil. We must have each other. And then we have the power to resist the devil. And then we have the power to live a life of freedom. Freedom in Christ. Because that woman, Nora Lamb, stood up for Jesus. And there she was. Can't you imagine it? 23 years old, being for firing squad and expecting the next thing, you know, bam, she's already saying what's going to... Imagine things going through her mind and heart. You know, I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus right now. And the shots go by her and none of them hit her. Imagine what she must have thought. God must have a purpose for my life. I want you to know, maybe you were not before firing squad, but God has a purpose for your life. And that begins with understanding what it means to be in relationship with Him, relationship with His body on the earth, and then the relationship He wants you to have with the world. Relationship with His body is one of discipleship, submission and accountability, growth, teaching. The relationship with this world is one of evangelism and ministry. To see the power of God. To see signs and wonders take place. To see people healed in the name of Jesus. To see people set free in the name of Jesus. To see their lives change. Anybody here have a changed life? Has Jesus changed your life? Anybody? What has He done for you? He saved me. Anybody been saved here by Jesus? How about healed? How about set free? Let me put two hands up there. Huh? How about it? Don't you think that that's a gift He wants us to give to the world? Connection is not optional. One other thing I want to share with you today. Another little subtlety. I believe God wants us to stop thinking of us coming to church, which is, that terminology kind of gets to me, but we're gathering as the body, as a place where we can go get something. I believe He wants us to change that so that He can make us the army to send us out in His name and with His power. Let me tell you, you're going to go places this week that I can't touch. Because the moment I walk in, so many people, they say, oh, that's the preacher. And you know what happens to the open door? Don't leave your fingers in it. It gets slammed. I say that not out of speculation, but out of practical experience every week. Ryan, bless his heart, was trying to introduce me as the preacher yesterday when we were having lunch together. This guy was cussing up a storm, and Ryan was saying, no, quit that. That's the preacher. Don't cuss. And I told him later, I said, son, he's cussing in front of Jesus. What matter is it that I'm there? God's put you in places. Your connection is not optional. Let's bow our heads. As we open the altar today and open this time of ministry, we got a lot to pray about today. Some of us have just been beat up this week. I want you to know Jesus wants to come with His love and put things right for you. To bring His healing, His restoration, His reconciliation in your life. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, today you can do that. Call upon Him. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Word says. This is your day. You can receive Him into your life. If you're here as a believer in Him, I know some of you today, that Nora Lamb story, just that little clip you saw, it got to you. God spoke to you. He's calling on you to pray today. Pray for His power to receive that. The altar's open. We have people gathered around the perimeter here who pray with you. This is your time. Lord, right now, we come to You and we say we submit to You. Nora Lamb submitted to You, Lord. And even bullets couldn't kill her. I ask You today, Lord. I ask You to come. Come with Your power. Come and speak. Come and move. As we open up the altar, heaven will come down today, Lord.